listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome back. Happy Tuesday, guys. Glad to see you all are listening in this evening. Got some great things to share with you. You know, there's been a lot of toxic relationship situations going on over the last few weeks. You know, very sad thing. My friend called me to tell me that her son passed away. And I was trying to get a grip around that because I remember this kid growing up and always wanting to be a police officer. Every Halloween, he wanted to put on a police officer uniform. And, you know, this was his dream. And then his life was taken away, unfortunately, in New York City due to someone that was suffering from some type of mental health issue with a very lengthy criminal history. You know, it's very sad, very, very sad situation. 22 years old, start of his career, you know, and just a very sad situation to have taken place for now, you know, family members that have to bury him. He was newly married. He had a family and, you know, he had a lot of loved ones. And, you know, it's very sad thing, that illness a while back and how it affects people moving forward with their lives to live, you know, in a good manner, to be successful, and if not successful, to be somewhat independent of being who they can truly be, living as a person that suffers from mental illness. And unfortunately, sometimes these people that suffer from mental illness, they don't have a real way out. So the only way they know is either violence or, you know, to hurt other people, or, you know, childhood trauma sometimes causes people to live with certain elements that they just can't get past. And I'll tell you another thing, guys. There was a gentleman by the name of James Womack. He recently passed away last year, 2021, November, I believe it was. He is the gentleman that actually got the DeBarge brothers to finally speak out and make a movie about the trauma that they endured at the hands of their dad, you know, and before he actually got a chance to get paid off of this great thing that he did for the DeBarge family, especially those boys, I tell you. I mean, when I watched the movie, you know, it was really, really intense, and it was really, unfortunately, sad that, you know, these kids were tormented from mental, sexual, physical abuse, and they had no way out. You know, they suffered. And as childhood children, they were, you know, scared. It took them all those years to move forward to say, I'm ready to tell my story, you know, and congratulations to them, because maybe now they can set some of their demons free and they can move forward, you know, the ones that are able to move forward. And, you know, it's a really sad thing when you have to hear about these children being abused. It's unfortunate. And I've had quite a few gentlemen come on the show and basically share their stories, which I commend them for wanting to get past the things that they've been through and be productive with their own children in life going forward. Because it takes a lot, and it takes a real man to speak up for themselves and say, I was also abused as a child. You know, it's deep. It runs very deep. And it's very hurtful because as a child, you know, is stolen from you. That childhood is taken away. And you never get a real chance to experience what it is to be a little girl or what it is to be a little boy, you know, having all the toys, playing baseball with your dad, playing football with your dad, and many host of other sports that a dad would do with his child. You know, a father who would be there, who would watch this kid grow and he would groom them. It's a lot of now adult men who have suffered that childhood trauma and they fight with their demons every day, trying to figure out a way on how to move on. And I'm glad that I've helped many come to terms by letting them know that it's okay. And I feel your pain. And I understand without any judgmental theories of why this could have happened to this little boy, now grown man. And I do commend the last gentleman, Messiah, that came on. And he shared his story with us. You know, guys, I'm still so very heartbroken by that story because, you know, I shared with you guys a while back, my sister, she is, at one time, she was a foster mom. She adopted an African-American little girl into her household, which is a strictly Dominican house. And she didn't want to see this little girl at 3 months old passed around. She said, because I'm afraid something may happen to her in the system being so young and so vulnerable where she can't even speak for herself at this age. So my sister decided she wanted to not be a foster mom. She wanted to adopt this little girl. And mind you guys, she has a child of her own. And she still wanted to give this little girl a place that she could call home. She could grow up. She can go out in the backyard and play. Offer her something that was never offered to her or was ever going to be offered to her in the future. Because a lot of times these children in the system, they get passed around as checks, not for love. So it's very conflicting when, you know, a child has to grow up knowing that I was just here because I helped them pay their bills. I was never truly loved by anyone, you know, but instead they got the payday and the foster slash adoptive parent was very happy with that, or the kinship parent was very happy with just receiving the funds, knowing in their heart that they had no true love for the child and never would have true love for the child because it was all based on calculation of monetary gain. And I say this to the gentlemen that came on the show to share their stories. I want you to know that there are a lot of people that are rooting for you guys, that once you get up, done a job, throughout everything you've been through, either with the foster parent, the adoptive parent, the biological parent, the kinship parent, you have sustained your life in a way that is unimaginable for you to have the courage to come and say, this is my pain. And I am a survivor. Because for some reason, people always think that it's women who get abused, little girls who get abused. It's not the case. It's definitely a two-way street. And unfortunately, little boys are more, you know, put in the position of being abused by the male figure and sometimes a lot by a female figure. It could be even a school teacher. It could even be the Reverend Doctor we discussed. And by the way, guys, I want to share with you, 2 weeks ago, there is, you know, in the Catholic community, it is a chain of command where you go to the higher priest. It's like a court system. You go to the higher priest and you have to get the okay from him to be a part of a certain community. And once you get the okay from that priest to be a part of that community, you have the green light. So pretty much you're getting like a key to the city with the authority that you're given to go in, teach values, teach Christianity, show me that to support you and to help you through your endeavors of life in whatever you're trying to do. The church, the Catholic Church, has an open door policy. They're always going to welcome you in because they are here to help you. Well, this father priest, I'm not going to mention his name, but I'll just give him that name, Father Priest. He actually was a part of the story that I talked about maybe 2 months ago about the young boy that had been sexually assaulted by the reverend doctor, you know, and he got the authority from this priest that was now arrested and charged with a whole bunch of charges of child molestation and certain things that he participated in with children that he's now going to be held accountable for. And he was one of the higher ups that said, welcome to the community. This is going to be your community. And he left the open door for child pornography, for child molestation, and now he's going to be held accountable. And it's a very sad thing because that family still hurts very bad inside, and it's still too early to talk about it with them. And I did meet the son, by the way, that this act was done to. And I mean, really great kid, but you can tell that something happened to this kid. You know, he has that look like somebody did something to him. You know, and it's mysterious because these children, male or female, they have a tendency to have that look like somebody's done something to me. You know, and I have an eye for that look. I've seen a grown woman, and I didn't even know this lady, guys, I tell you. And from her conversation, she basically had the look of a young girl who now she's a grown woman in her 50s. She had the look of, I've been abused before. And I didn't even have to ask, you know, if that was the case. She basically shared some things with me that confirmed that she was a victim of child abuse. Not sexual abuse, but for sure child abuse at the hands of her own mother. She suffered. She was beaten, you know, and I kind of sensed that from the conversation that there was something wrong. And she went into this professional grown woman voice to, you know, down memory lane of what happened to her. And it was very interesting to visually see this and know that this is what happened to her. You know, it's a very tragic thing. You know, it's sad, guys, when you get these predators, you know, and predators can still be your own relatives. It can be your parents. It can be your friends. And this reflects on my own life. I remember as a young girl in the Dominican Republic, I remember, and I was about 7 years old, and I remember my cousin, who was an older guy, he used to play parachute, is what he called it. and he would play parachute with the sheep. And I would always try to figure out, why was he playing this game? And mind you guys, I'm 7 years old at the time. And I'm like, why would he be playing parachute? And we all have to run under the sheet and play, not touching each other, but we would just have to run and play under the sheet and then run back to the edge of the sheet and hold it up and make it flop like a parachute. Because we didn't have toys. So these were our things that we did as kids, you know, amongst family members. We had no other choice but to play with each other because each other is all we had. But at 7 years old, it just didn't seem right to me. And listen, granted, I don't know if he was a pedophile or not, because I never had that experience. But what I do remember is I kept saying to myself, what was the moral of the parachute game? And the only thing at 7 years old I could think to myself was, this is not the kind of game I want to play. Because it was just too much of, when the parachute goes up, everybody runs through and bumps under each other. You know, it was just a little too weird. And I bowed out, because it didn't seem like a game that a little girl should be playing under a sheet. You know, hide and go seek is one thing, but under a sheet is a whole different story. So I was a smart kid, and I didn't, you know, fall into maybe a bad situation with a family member, because this too could have been the case. It's just that I wasn't subjected to it because I didn't allow myself to be a participant. You know, running under it, grabbing one end to keep it afloat is one thing. But when you're now bumping into each other and there's a slight, you could touch me in the wrong place, I could touch you in the wrong place, a lot of things could go wrong, guys. You know, and it's very, very easy for things to go wrong. You know, you have that initial contact with a family member in an improper way, it can make things go left really fast, because now they may be looking at you as an adult girl and not a little girl anymore. And in their minds, because people have psychological damage of thinking that you could be someone else, and they would look at you as a grown woman versus you're a little girl that has little girl body parts, and it doesn't even faze them because they can't even see it, because they can't even functionally think it. You know, so it's good for parents who are listening on that has little boys, little girls, to say to yourself, that type of game I don't want my kid to play. Because I'm not sure of, you know, the end result, let's say, of what could happen. Another story, guys, I tell you, you know, so glad you guys are on tonight. Thank you for joining me. And I'll tell you the numbers before we end the show, but I'm glad you guys joined in. And they're just asking people to join in. You know, there's a young lady that was out of Philadelphia. Really nice young girl at one time. Her name is Keisha Jones. And, you know, I'm talking to someone one day, and this gentleman is saying, you know, I'm glad I didn't end up in a toxic relationship. And I'm thinking, okay, what do you mean? And he's saying to me that this young lady, Keisha Jones, who is now up for some type of appeal because she actually killed her husband. Yeah, guys, really, really sad situation. She had four children with the husband, who at the time was like 20 something years old. Really sad situation. And this will go to tell you about toxic relationships and how to stay away from them. You know, sometimes when you do your dirt, guys, you have to do it alone. You can't bring, you know, two ears. Sometimes you have to have four walls with no eyes. Because you're bringing two ears and two eyes, and sometimes you're bringing four eyes and two ears to the table of what you're doing. And these things that you're doing can really get you hemmed up. So now Keisha Jones is serving a life sentence behind bars because she killed her husband because her cousin, Tamara, actually ratted her out to her husband. Hey, listen, this is what she's doing, and I want to let you know. Now, who's to say that Tamara, who was playing devil's advocate, didn't have in the back of her mind that that husband should belong to me and not to her, because we're hanging out and I know all her dirt and she's going back home happily ever after, and that's not the case. So they're all in the car one night, they're hanging out, Tamara's in the back seat. Tamara spills the beans, hubby gets out, he starts walking away because he's driving the car. Keisha Jones jumps in the front seat, driver's seat. She puts her foot on the gas and she runs her husband directly into a wall of a home. He was dead upon impact. She was cut a deal, 15 to 20 years, and she said, nope, I want to go to trial. I want to prove my truth. Well, her real truth was she was a cheater. She had too many eyes and too many ears. And this led to a very toxic situation at hand. So now you have these four love children. The family, thank goodness she had family to take these children. And the gentleman's, the husband's father, he ended up taking the two kids that him and Keisha had together. And Keisha had two prior children from another relationship, and that father took his children as well. And guys, I tell you, you know, when it comes down to domestic violence, it, you know, it could be verbal. Sometimes these verbal situations, they end up really doing more harm than a physical altercation. You know, people start exchanging words, and then the next thing you know, someone's lit the fire. And the house is about to burn down. And it's too late to put it out because there's no fire extinguisher anywhere. So you start these fires and you can't put them out. Leads to a very toxic situation. You know, there is a gentleman that basically is in a situation where, and guys, I'll tell you this much about this gentleman. He'll be coming on the show tonight because I have a question that, you know, I think he would have the answer to it. You know, it's more so how women go backwards and, you know, they leave the current and they go backwards to the old to say, maybe I could salvage what I did wrong and make a new relationship. You know, and this happens all the time. You know, there was a gentleman actually wanted to come on the show. I'll try to get him on the show. We'll see if to call in. But he actually found out that his girlfriend was receiving text messages from another guy. And this was in Newark, New Jersey, guys. And basically, he had an app called, well, I can't tell you what the app is because I don't want my stalkers to pick up and use it and start calling me on it, because I do have stalkers, guys. But he used an app, the boyfriend, to get the guy that his girlfriend was cheating with to come to where he was. And he put in his phone number as if it was the girlfriend's phone number. Had this side piece meet him at White Castle in Newark in the parking lot. And basically, he assassinated him. You know, so it's so very serious when you play games and you get other people's feelings, emotional feelings involved, and you don't know what the outcome is going to be. And this, you know, side piece is texting back and forth. And this guy's getting all hot and bothered and angry. And he's ready to kill because he's like, she's really cheating on me. You know, and now you know, he sends a message. Did you know that I have a man? Now, of course, he's pretending to be her. And the side piece is responding back and saying, of course. You know, he's excited to be in this three-way relationship. So now the boyfriend meets up with him and he pumps about 20 bullets throughout his body. And he dies upon impact of those bullets. Now, the girlfriend, when the police confiscated the phones that were used, you know, between the side piece and the boyfriend, because they caught up to the boyfriend. He left the scene, but the cameras in the parking lot, you know, gave it all away. Cameras everywhere. So they take his phone. They start seeing the communications and they start seeing the girlfriend's phone number at the top of the victim's text messages. And they realize it was never the girlfriend texting. It was her boyfriend pretending to be her so he could meet up with the guy and finish him off. So this situation was really crazy, really toxic, because guys, listen, if you don't want guys and females, listen, I'm not gonna, you know, say it's you. It's you all that need to stop playing games when it comes to these relationships. And if it's that toxic and you don't want to be in it, you do not have a ball and chain around your neck weighing you down where you cannot leave. You can happily say, I'm out of here. This is not for me. And if they're stalking you, you take other remedial action, such as the court system, because they're always going to be there to help you prosecute a stalker. It's no secret about it. Okay, it's called a restraining order, or it's called a stay away order, whatever kind of order it is. And guys, listen to me, and girls, ladies and gentlemen, in the state of New Jersey, once you get a restraining order against you, it's not like the other states where it's 3 years or 4 years, it's forever. So when you think about doing some craziness to someone that lives in New Jersey, that resides here, just remember, you're going to have a restraining order against you on your record for the rest of your life. And as they have documented proof of your harassment that they can take to a judge and say, this person did this to me and they are continuously harassing me, you have all rights to get that restraining order and nail them to the cross with it. And that way, they will never even mention your name, because any job application, any career path that they take, any bank they go to for a loan, they will run your background and say, this person has issues and we don't want to deal with them. So when you think about doing certain things to people, think about the repercussions that come with it. Because for sure, in this state, it's going to be severe. And New Jersey's going to nail you to the cross. Let's see if this caller is going to call in so we can get down to the bottom of, you know, this question about women going backwards. And he can tell us about his situation of, you know, I'm not sure, you know, if he wants to discuss a little personal business about his relationships. But, you know, we want to know. We want him to call in. Our ears are open, desperately wanting to hear how his situation could actually be toxic, and to hear about the young lady that actually wants him back, which is a little strange. Because usually when people leave relationships, they don't usually go back unless it was a good relationship and they know they, you know, messed up and they want the old thing back that now someone else has. And now they're like, forget about what you have going on. I was here first. And hopefully, you know, people can see that toxic situations, they run very deep. And hopefully people can adjust mentally when the breakup is over. Some people don't know how to get past toxic situations. Hey, our call is on. Hey there, Cole, how are you?
I'm well. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, thank you. I wanted to dig in a little deep and find out, you know, have you ever had a situation where, you know, you broke up with someone, or maybe they broke up with you, and now they want you back? You ever had a situation like that?
You must know a part of my life that I haven't exposed to the public yet. I lived that situation a couple of times. And I'm still trying to find the answers of why they are circling back around. I think, I could be wrong, but I think people mature at some point, or wake up, or the light comes on, and they realize that they've lost a good person. You know, they say, you don't know a good person sometimes until you know, they're not there no more. And when you find out the option, now I'm not saying I'm the best guy, by no means. I'm far from perfect, and I got a lot to work on with myself. But when I got into these relationships, I know I treated my ladies right and well. But yeah, matter of fact, that is going on in my life right now. I have two ex-girlfriends. One is an ex-fiance, actually, who got married while we were engaged, who's now divorced.
Wow.
Is coming back around. And I have an ex-girlfriend who is also coming back around. The ex-girlfriend situation was a lot easy to kind of deal with, only because she wanted to move out of one state and go to another state because that's where she felt most comfortable. But I guess upon her doing that, her family was really surprised on why she was breaking up with me, because I had given her a promise ring. Now, these two ladies are years and years apart from each other. I don't want everybody to think that, you know, they were back to back. But I'm really scratching my head right now, to be honest with you, to figure out what is really making them come back. Can you render me some advice on this?
Well, it depends, because what were you giving them that it seems like they may be missing, and they want that old thing back, but it may be the magic stick.
Well, when it comes to the love department.
Did you ever think, like, maybe they're not sexually satisfied with this guy, and let me get back to, you know, this guy, because he was the magic and the sparkle in my eye, and I want him back. How do you feel about even entertaining the thought of taking any one of them back?
I don't know. I don't know if God is testing me or if this is a joke. I don't know. I'm evaluating it. You know, people become exes sometimes for a reason, and we have to question, should they be back in our lives? And when they come, if you should take them back into your life, would you treat them on the same level that you initially did? And I think things change because we all mature, we all reshape. And if I'm vulnerable, and I think that's the only way a relationship can grow. I think the only way a relationship can grow is if two people are willing to work and who are vulnerable to each other to give this relationship everything in their heart and soul. But because I went through hardships, especially with the fiance situation, the question is, could I allow my heart to be as vulnerable as it was? And to be honest with you, I don't think I can. I think if at minimum we can be friends, could we be back to the same level that we were? In her mind, maybe. In my mind, I doubt it. But I put everything in God's hands, so I guess I got to wait on that prayer to find out how do I deal with this the right way?
Well, let me ask you, do you have any animosity of either one coming back, trying to like win your heart again?
I did have animosity with the fiance until, of course, you have to understand, she got married unbeknown to me while we were engaged. I found out through a different source, that she was getting married. She never came back and had closure. 10 years later, she calls me up on my job, and I couldn't believe it was her. And I needed resolution. So I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I had some serious colorful language when we did meet up and talk, because it was just a lack of respect. And she apologized over the top and around the corner, apologized. And that's fine to hear. But, you know, when you go through a 10-year period, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, I kind of expected you to say that because I didn't do anything wrong for this to happen in the matter. But, you know, could I allow my heart to be on the line, as vulnerable as it was, to let her back in to have that same space? I doubt if it could be that way.
Well, let me ask you this question. And, you know, this is really, it's like a stab wound. Do you think that these relationships that left you heartbroken actually damaged you moving forward with finding true love?
No, because I know this is going to sound corny, but because I was filled up with love. I come from a loving family. Yeah, we may not have had riches in terms of finances, but we had an over-the-top pouring of love. And, you know, since my mom's transition, I know that her love that she had just for people in general has been placed in my body, in my DNA. And I have love for someone. I never bring my previous relationship situations into a current situation because it's unfair to that person. I don't want to be judged like that through the eyes of somebody else, and I wouldn't dare judge anybody else through the eyes of that. So I'm open and accepting and willing to give love without looking through the broken glass of what I've been through, because I think when we get to a certain age, we've all been and we all have had our fair share of heartbreaks and disappointments. But we have to get by those moments, and we have to learn how to cleanse ourselves and relinquish those negativity aspects from people in order to really find love. So I don't believe that those hardships of what I've went through personally are tarnishing my desire to find love. If anything, I'm a little more cautious because I just don't want to fall for anybody. Like I don't want to settle just for anybody or anything at this stage of the game of my life. You know, I'm a seasoned brother, so I'm not trying to settle just because I'm lonely. I think that's the worst thing people can do, is settle on something, settle on a relationship, settle in a situationship just because they don't want to be alone. The worst thing is being with someone in a relationship and you still feel alone. So I choose not to do that.
Well, you know, I'd like to ask you this closing out. What would you tell the men that are on this line tonight, you know, about taking back an ex? What advice would you give them about taking back an ex?
The advice I would give is, again, a lot of people become exes for different reasons. First, hold yourself accountable and check your list. Is that a reason why? Are you the reason why she became your ex, or is she the reason why she became your ex? That's the first thing. Once you take that accountability into effect, you really have to self-examine yourself and see, you know, should this person be back in your life? And again, your vulnerability. I would advise them to be careful when they make these decisions, to be thorough and honest with themselves, because sometimes we're not. Sometimes our thoughts are cloudy. And please don't allow the beauty of the person or the sex to deter where your heart really is, because that's only a temporary moment. Yeah, we all want to be satisfied. And they say men are about the physical. I've learned over the years that women are about the physical just as much as we are. So, yeah, we want to be satisfied. We want an ideal partner to complete our mind, body, and sexual desires. But you have to, when you're dealing with an ex situation, you've already been there. She's already been there. So you make sure, if you do decide to get back, if you want to get back with her, because no one is perfect, right? And people do deserve second chances. I mean, look how much wrong we've done over the years. And for those of you brothers who are spiritual, you ask God for second chances, third chances, 1,500 chances. So you have to examine what happened. If you were the cause of it, and you've changed, and you really think that you can, you know, respect this woman at this stage of the game, then I say, hey, do it. if it was her fault and that was the situation that kind of spiraled out of control, see where she's at right now and then see where you're at. And if you have a loving and caring spirit and you can let bygones be bygones and move forward, then I say, hey, move cautiously, but move forward. Only you will be able to determine how vulnerable and how things really will be. And I know, you know, when you get back with someone and the trust has been broken, that's the hardest piece of it to put together. Yeah, song when you get a chance, smoking out the windows. We do not, as men, want to be in that situation at all, because I think Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak paints a wonderful picture for us to be aware of what kind of women that are out here, or hopefully your ex hasn't turned into that kind of woman that's mentioned in that song.
Gee, that's deep. Well, I'd like to thank you for coming on tonight, and hopefully we get to speak to you again, caller.
I will be honored, and thank you for taking my call. I love your show. I think it's really insightful, in depth, and keep up the great work. It's great.
Thank you, and have a great night.
You too, my love.
Bye-bye. Whew, boy, I tell you, what great insight was that? That was deep. That was really deep. And guys, listen to this. Okay, he was engaged and then, okay, I was a little lost a minute. He was engaged to this woman and then she turned around and she married another man. So I'm trying to figure out, did she have two rings on one finger or did she have like a ring on this hand, a ring on this hand? Like what really happened there? You know, I mean, it's crazy when you think about it, but it's very true. And thank goodness he's another man who has told us his story about his heartbreak, letting it out, you know, and I'm glad, very proud to have him on the show. And it's very interesting to hear the great advice that he could share with a lot of men who are in this particular situation. And sometimes it's not just the men, it's the women who, you know, end up in situations where it's up in the air and should I take him back? You know, it's been a long time. And it's the guys, you know, on the other end, it's been a long time. And for some reason, women can get over, okay, he slept with 50,000 other women while we were separated. And, you know, it's the guys, well, she slept with 1 million men and we were separated and I can't take her back because of those reasons. And sometimes guys get involved in these particular situations and they basically can't handle it. And over time, the relationship becomes toxic because, you know, guys talk. Sometimes the ladies do some chatting as well, you know, and they will share their story of, you know, what they've been through with all the fellas. And then next thing you know, there's a guy saying, well, I was just with her like a couple of months ago. And then you got the other friend who's saying, you know, well, she kind of gave me a little piece for some free Wi-Fi, that type of situation. So, you know, it's all types of situations out here that can make these type of exes become toxic exes, which could lead to a domestic situation. Because some people don't know how to pick up the pieces being an ex, move forward, take all the old rubbish and throw it out. And then you got some people like our caller that says, listen, you know, I had to get closure 10 years later on why she did what she did because I truly loved her. Then he has the ex-girlfriend that basically, you know, did a disappearing act. And now she's back. She's saying, you know, the guy that I had, I don't want him anymore. You know, but did she tell that other guy she didn't want him and now she wants the old guy back? Like things like that kind of get a little sticky, you know, and that is what leads to these toxic domestic violence. I'll say this too, guys, murder. Okay. It goes that deep. It goes that far of, you know, people not being honest and telling the truth. Remember the guy that came on, you know, walks in his own house and his lady has her heels up to the ceiling. Okay. And you got the best friend and her colluding about, you know, their rendezvous because he's in another state. So they thought, they didn't know he was on his way back home. So guys, this, like, this is a really big situation for people to have like their Pinocchio ears on, you know, like you're listening. And I hope you're hearing, because the caller made so much sense. And also, he said, people come back for a reason. My theory is sometimes they come back for a reason or a season. You know, it's cuddle season. You know, what season, you know, people usually return. They return for cuddling season. It's cold outside. It's like 12 degrees, you know, 2 degrees in some places, 0 below, you know. So people come back during certain seasons because they need to be warm. You know, it's not necessarily I'm going back because I'm in love. You know, is it hoodie season? You know, it's actually cuddle season. So guess what? These women, or sometimes these guys, just want to cuddle in the winter. And guess what else, guys? Even though this is cuddling season, this is also tax season. So now that's another reason to come back. People are getting paid and people want their in. They want a piece of the pie. Guys, we have about 9 million listeners on this line tonight. And I'm glad you all joined in to listen in. I had a gentleman that wanted to come on, but he kind of bowed out. I don't think he's ready to release his demons yet and share with the world what he has been through. He's been through some tragedy as well, you know. Gee, I tell you, it's something about these women that I'm not sure. I can't speak for everybody. But, you know, she was basically having her BFF over, who was a male, and basically sitting at her husband's kitchen table, dining room table, having dinner. And all along, this was her Kentucky Fried Chicken side piece. You know, and maybe Popeyes, the spicy chicken, you know. But this guy is shaking his hand, pretending to, you know, we're buddies, we're chums, we're boys. And later to find out, gee, this guy is banging my wife. You know, he starts reading the text messages. And those text messages, guys, between text messages and social media, it will get you in trouble. Stay away. Keep your hand out of the fire. Because listen, all this stuff will catch up to you eventually. And you will have a toxic situation because these messages, they don't come across as being so innocent sometimes, you know, and sometimes it could be the means, you know, you send the picture with the guy sucking the foot or the girl, you know, her head is where it shouldn't be, that type of situation. And when spouses have a tendency to look at your text messages, they're going to say something is wrong here. You're doing something you shouldn't be doing. Guys, it's so glad to have you on. Next week, we're going to have a special caller. Can't tell you too much info. But it's a lady. She will be calling in. She has a story to tell. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Hey, see me next week, Tuesday. Same bat place, same bat time. Tommy Torres signing off. Have a good night, guys. Bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.